Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Jones Topsoil has been delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Corey Curtis from News 2 taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We bring in our good friend Joe Rexroad, brought to you by Holly Garenzen, your local Geico agent on Rosa Parks Boulevard. Holly can help you out with your car, home, motorcycle, boat, and RV insurance, located at 2120 Rosa Parks Boulevard. Think local, buy local with Geico. Rexy, what's up, brother?
Not much. What is up with you guys?
Not a whole lot. What's kind of been your reaction to the crazy past 12 hours it's been in the world of sports? The SEC tournament playing the rest of their games for the moment with no fans. The NBA suspending their season last night. The NHL with a decision to make on that front today as too. Just what's kind of been your reaction as you've seen all this unfold?
I think my reaction has kind of been like, you know, like if a dog is sitting there and then you hear a bark and you turn your head one way and then you hear something, you turn your head the other way and you turn your head the other way. I mean, like in an hour last night, like the entire world changed, you know? You know, the SEC, of course, announces that it's not going to have fans the rest of this tournament, which we all expected that to happen. And then it's like Tom Hanks has it and Rudy Gobert. And, oh, my God, look at Rudy Gobert rubbing these microphones. And the NBA suspends it. And it's just boom, 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 boom. And you're like, you know, and then, you know, I saw you, Robbie, tweeting, you know, what's up with the NHL? You know, be ready. And, of course, you tell me, because I'll be honest, I got home about 2 a.m., so this is me waking up. So you tell me, is the NHL still on right now?
They're still on at the moment. Now, they've got, I believe, a board of governors meeting later scheduled for today. I just saw that get tweeted out, I think, by Darren Dreger. So I would expect a decision to be made of some kind later on this afternoon, probably around 1-2 o'clock, I would say. But like Joe, if you're the NHL at this point, can you really justify not following in the footsteps of the NBA, given everything that we know that has happened and the potential spread of this virus that you may not even know that you're sick and you could still spread it?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that I would make a case to play. In my case would be, you know, you have to have tests available for everybody, and you have to have, do it constantly, and you have to obviously have, you know, I guess the consent of the people who are playing the games. Look, I mean, I'll tell you this: if you put it to a vote for college basketball players whether they're going to play the NCAA tournament or not, and you know and they all know, like, you could get this. You know, I mean, what do you think the vote's going to be? I think it's going to be massively in favor of playing,
yeah.
You know, because the thing about this virus, of course, is that if you're young and healthy, it's probably not going to kill you. That's what we know of it so far. So, I mean, I guess my case for playing would be, you know, a small group of people doing something is like society at large now. I mean, the point of this is to get rid of these massive crowds where you can really multiply the virus, right? I mean, this is social distancing. This is a strategy. This is smart. This is necessary. Anyone who thinks this is panic, this is actually trying to be proactive and stem the tide and make it so that we do not become like Italy, which is basically a country that is completely shut down now. So this was a measure that, I mean, it's you know, I don't see how you can really, if you actually look at all the data provided by scientists who know about this stuff, I don't know how you can argue against it. But not playing at all, I think you can make a case. And it's like, you know, small groups of people doing something. The virus is not going to totally stop. So can you test? Can you remove someone if they have it? Can you keep testing? Can you get the consent of people? And, you know, I mean, I hope so, but I understand what you're saying too. It's like how can you be? You can't be sure. I mean, you can probably be sure that someone is going to get it.
Well, Joe, and now everybody's wondering, so, you know, we expect the NHL to follow suit. So when do they resume play? And my whole thinking has been they've got to wait at least the incubation period, which is 10 days to 2 weeks. So I'm kind of pointing as like April 1 as a day that we could see action pick back up again. What are your thoughts on that?
No, that's a good thought. And that's the thing, too. I mean, with the NBA and the NHL, I mean, it's just very different situations when you talk about them and you talk about the NCAA tournament, you know. I mean, NBA and NHL, this is a workforce. These are professionals. You can play the NBA finals in August if you want. You can push the Stanley Cup finals back to whenever. You can move that around and, you know, we'll watch. And people will come if they're allowed back in and all that stuff. You know, the NCAA tournament is different, of course, because it's college students. There's eligibility. A lot of them are going to be moving on and trying to, you know, hire agents and be in the draft. Like, you have a very – it's now or you don't do it, you know. And it is a massive piece of television inventory. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, like, the NHL doing this would make sense because you can come back, and obviously you hope everything works out the way, you know, you hope that this move does what it's supposed to do, and then you can come back. The NCAA tournament, that's going to be – man, it's going to be really interesting. I have a feeling there may be a lot of waivers signed out there soon.
Well, one of the ideas that we brought up is because they're already talking about moving to smaller venues for like the Elite Eight and the Final Four. Could we see them, because we're talking about the problems of going to these booked venues and rescheduling dates, could they simply move it to on-campus locations if they decided to have it, say, in 3 weeks?
I mean, why not, you know? I mean, the thing is,
because they own those buildings.
Yeah, and the point of these, you know, the point of these different cities is obviously the hotel rooms. I mean, mm-hmm. They bid on these things. It's massive money, you know, hotel rooms, and you know, the fans are traveling there. You're trying to get them as close as you can so that the fans can travel. I mean, all that's out the window. I mean, we know they're not going to do anything in Spokane and Sacramento, right? I mean, those are two of the sites. Yep. There's just no way. So I agree. Like, I mean, to me, they need a total reboot on where they're going to do it. And
if they're going to do it.
If they're going to do it, right. Yeah. And make it convenient and make sense. So, I mean, as someone tweeted yesterday, like, you know, put something in like the Hickory Gym in Indiana. You know? I mean,
no, I mean, I think like Curb Event Center is a fantastic venue for an NCAA tournament. With limited fans right now.
There you go.
Joe Rexroad from The Athletic on the line with us. Joe, in the short-term, immediate future, I mean, how realistic is it that the rest of this week at the SEC tournament doesn't get completed? Like, the tournament doesn't get finished this week?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you have to – certainly, it's possible. I mean, I know I'm planning on going over there early, and I'm – prepared to hear anything. And obviously, you know, with all this stuff, guys, you always keep in mind, I mean, to me, if I own a business, certainly if I am in charge of an arena or a tournament or really have any responsibility for anything where the public would set foot in something that I have responsibility for, then I'm thinking about lawsuits. You know, they're going to come. Now, they may not have grounds, and, you know, obviously people have insurance and all that stuff, but you have to think in those terms. You know, I got coronavirus because I went to your store or whatever it is. So, I mean, that's another thing to always keep in mind on all this. Yeah, I think it's possible. You know, again, this is still a very valuable piece of television inventory, even though, you know, Nashville is going to miss out on $20 million in economic impact now this weekend that it normally gets from the SEC tournament. But the question is, if they're not going to do that, what are they doing for testing? You know, I think if you're not suspending play and this and the NCAA tournament coming forward, then what is the plan for testing? And as you said, Corey, you've got the incubation period. I mean, it's really complicated. So I won't be surprised by anything I hear this morning.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the reality of the situation that we're in right now. Joe, last thing for you here. As you look ahead, I mean, what kind of a difficult situation does this have to be if you're a team like the Predators right now? You're preparing for a game tonight in Toronto, and you're not sure, and maybe won't be sure for the next few hours, whether or not you're even going to play tonight. I mean, that's got to be just – we've talked all morning long. I don't remember a story just being kind of as crazy as this in the history of sports. This could end up being the biggest sports story that any of us have ever seen.
Yeah, well, and beyond that, I mean, what else are people on Earth talking about,
yeah,
you know, other than this virus right now? So, yeah, but no, I mean, that yesterday had to be the most surreal day of in sports history that I can recall, and I mean, there's just no telling where it goes from here. Again, you know, hopefully what this means is that eventually we can, you know, we can return to normal, and a lot of lives are being saved because of these measures. That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
You don't wait until a bunch of people die and then do something, you know. But
and it's not about the person you're looking in the mirror, and I think that's what a lot of people are having a tough time coming to grips with. It's not about your personal choice. It's
exactly
it's about everyone around you.
Why can't people understand this? It's infuriating. But again, you can get on social media and get mad about a lot of things, but yeah, for these teams, it's got to be just bizarre. And then how does that affect, you know, performance and everything? But I'll tell you what, I know with them and with everybody, the prevailing thought is, man, I just hope we get to play. And you know, with some players, it may be, man, I don't want to get this, like, you know, I don't. But I think for the most part, most people would raise their hands and say, yeah, put me out there, because Corey, like you said, I mean, most people feel confident, like, this isn't going to kill me.
No.
You know. But, yeah, it's just – I mean, today, if they do play these games in Bridgestone, I mean, how weird is this going to be? You know, it was weird last night, kind of everyone knowing it was the last attended sporting event in a long time, and now today you're talking about Tennessee, Alabama, and I guess we'll just hear, you know, Rick Barnes, everything he says during the game. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, frankly, I hope we get to find out.
No, we won't need mic'd up coaches.
Right.
We'll just hear everything.
That's right.
Hear him 300.
Where's Bobby Knight when we need him?
That's right. Joe Rexroad right. from The Athletic has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Joe, thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks. See you later.
Joe brought to you by Holly Garrison, your local Geico agent.
Joe sounds tired.
I imagine he is if he didn't get home until 2 o'clock in the morning.
You know, by the way, we talked to Belmont yesterday because Belmont's in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And so they were one of the first teams to know they're going to play in front of nobody. And one of the interesting takes we got from the players was they were relieved with the announcement because they're just happy to be playing.
Yeah.
Because they were really worried about not playing. And I'm sure they still are worried about not playing. But, you know, so they were relieved with the announcement yesterday that they were going to play in front of no fans because they were still going to play.
Yeah. It's certainly an interesting thing to follow. When we come back, what do we think it's going to be like to watch these games with no fans in the stands? It's not something we've ever had to deal with. I mean, we'll get into that next. You're listening.
I got jokes for that.
Oh, boy. Here we go. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Corey Curtis here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside the great Corey Curtis from News 2 here in Nashville. And, Corey, the last segment we had Joe Rexroad on from The Athletic and going through what is becoming more and more of the reality of our sports world right now. The SEC tournament scheduled to continue today. No fans will be in attendance. Right now, the NCAA tournament is scheduled to go on and take place over the next couple weeks as well. And no fans will be in attendance for those games either. What do we think it's going to be like to watch these games with no fans in attendance, especially at marquee events like this here locally in Nashville at the SEC tournament, but also the NCAA tournament as well?
Well, it's happened before, okay? We had the SEC tournament. It was 2008,
yeah,
where the tornado hit. So it's happened before. Growing up as a Cubs fan, there was a long time where the Cubs were absolutely horrible, and you might have 3,000 or 4,000 fans at those games.
Yes.
If you watch a Marlins game now, are they Miami or Florida?
They're Miami
at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, literally 2,000 fans
at most
at those games.
Yeah.
So we have some precedent for some of this. If you watch the Atlanta Hawks in the last 20 years, you've seen a lot of seats, you know, fans dressed as seats.
Yes.
So, you know, if you watch sports at the right time of the year, especially, you see a lot of empty venues, and it's a little bit odd. The thing that makes this different, though, is the expectation.
Yeah.
Okay? It's tournament time. And look, I've been covering sports a long time. I'm very old. And one of my favorite things to cover is the tournaments. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, the NCAA tournament, number one, but the conference tournaments, too. Because you get these collections of fan bases, and you get the passion that they bring for their teams all in one place and one game after the next. And the environment, there's an electricity in the air all the time. And the fans are part of it. The cheerleaders are part of it. The bands are part of it. And to not have that there is going to be weird. Now, we always hear about these, Marquise, what are they called? The unsanctioned practices or scrimmages they have in the summertime when, like, Ole Miss and Middle Tennessee will get together on the basketball court.
Yeah.
And those teams will scrimmage. I mean, those things happen, and you hear those are some of the best games that are never seen.
Right.
My hope is that it takes on that feeling that us versus you and nothing else matters.
Right.
Everything else is tuned out. You know, this is man-on-man pride here. And, you know, you obviously won't see cutaways. You'll see a lot more close shots because they're going to try to de-emphasize what the crowd is. And there's a lot of TV people who are very experienced with doing that anyway. Because, like, let's face it, you know, in the NBA and the NHL, the teams control the broadcast. And they know when they don't have good attendance.
Yeah.
And they don't want it to be shown off. So there's a lot of people who have a lot of expertise in minimizing the view of the crowd at the game. So you won't see a lot of shots of empty seats, you know, but just the ambient noise is going to be interesting. And hearing more of what the players say and what the coaches
like the other
say.
Thing, like, do you go through like a game ops presentation with no fans being there? Like if the Predators are playing home games,
when number they score, 12.
Like does the horn go off? Like does the goal horn go off?
Yeah.
Like it's the random things that my mind goes to.
I like it. I love it.
Like,
I want some more of it.
Yeah,
doesn't
no one's
the
there.
Same feeling.
Yeah, I was curious to see if the band would still be playing after like timeouts and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Are they playing for us? Or
like are they even going to be there?
No, I mean the band,
like a little rammer jammer.
I can't believe the band and cheerleaders are essential personnel. I mean, nothing against them, but I mean, if you're trying to stop the proliferation of the virus, these are not essential people to the game going on. So I don't think that those people will be there.
Well, and Joe Rexroad had an interesting tweet yesterday too, just kind of talking about, you know, in the NCAA tournament, you see upsets pretty much on a yearly basis,
mm-hmm.
but a big part of that can be, you know, once the crowd starts to sense that an upset
there's
is on
the
horizon,
there's
blood in the water, they get all over the favorite, especially, you know, like, let's just say for the sake of argument, Duke's in there. There's a lot of people that hate Duke. And unless you're a Duke fan in the crowd.
But you don't have to hate Duke to want to see Lehigh beat him.
Exactly,
it's a great story.
It is. And so the fans, they respond to that, and they start to really cheer loudly for the underdog, and that can have an effect.
It's pucker time.
Yeah, I mean, that can certainly have an effect. Obviously, with no fans in the stands, you're not going to have that type of effect. Does that change maybe some upsets?
You know, it's interesting because when we were talking about it yesterday in the office, we were talking about how it would help the mid-majors and the smaller teams. But thinking back on what you're saying now, is that may help the bigger teams to where they don't have to worry about playing in front of everybody. They don't have to worry about what they're hearing from the crowd. All they got to worry about is the team in front of them who they know they're better than.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see what, if the games are played, you know, what that scenario is. My guess is, mathematically, it comes out exactly the same way.
Yeah, I think there's probably a good chance. And maybe we overstate the impact of what that is and what the crowd plays into a game, particularly when you're at neutral sites like that. You do have to feel, and look, again, all of this is secondary in terms of the concern for the virus and the spread of the virus. But Nashville is losing out on a lot of money with this going on.
Mm-hmm.
With, you know, Kentucky fans.
Well,
are
look,
usually
there's a lot of fans who are already here.
Yeah.
And they're not happy.
No.
And I get it. I get it. But you know what? There's a lot of people who aren't happy with a lot of stuff. And sometimes it's out of your. Look, this is nothing the SEC wanted to do. It's nothing that Nashville wanted to
no.
do. And you kind of needed to be prepared for it when you got here. And I know that's not fair to say, but, you know, like I've said, my wife and I have started coming to the realization that we could be stuck somewhere for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Now, wherever we go, we could be stuck for 2 weeks. And so we have to think about that all the time.
Yeah, I mean, even like, you know, travel plans. Like, my church was planning to go on a trip to Greece, like, next week.
Yeah, that's not happening.
And that's not happening anymore. No. That now they luckily, they made the decision a few days ago to not go ahead with that just because they knew, like, you could get in a quarantine situation over there where you get stuck there for 2 or 3 weeks, and obviously that's not something you want to do. But, you know, obviously the president came out last night and said the travel for the next 30 days to Europe just ain't happening. So there are sometimes precautions that you have to take. You know, just from an NCAA tournament perspective, I do wonder how much the top brass, you know, Mark Emmert came out yesterday talking about, you know, playing games with no fans in the stands. Don't you kind of have to pay attention to what the NBA does? And then in addition to that, what the NHL may do today in response to it? Because what do you think the blowback would be like if the NBA cancels or postpones their season, the NHL follows suit, and the NCAA tournament continues to move forward and play? I understand it's different. The time frames of when you have to do these things are different, but there will be some blowback if you're the NCAA you have to manage.
And I wonder, you know, like Cleveland Clinic has just come up with a new test for coronavirus, which gives them results in 8 hours. And if they're doing that, you have to think some other stuff is down the pipe. And we're not talking about cures. We're not talking about vaccines. We're just talking about identification.
Yeah.
Say the NCAA, I mean, so we're a week away from the NCAA tournament starting. What if they're able to test every, like, say you have four teams or eight teams in every set. What if you're able to test everyone on those teams before the start of play?
Yeah.
And then, you know, if once everybody's cleared, boom, you go play. If a person tests, then they're out and their team is out. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to come up, if we want to play,
yeah,
if the NCAA wants to play, you know, a way that makes it palatable.
Yeah, because you can't just go out there and be like, yeah, we're just going to play until somebody gets diagnosed. I mean, that can't happen.
And how many other teams used that locker room? And how many other teams ate at that buffet? And who else is at that hotel? And who else was on that bus? And it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about it. That's got to be something, if you're the NCAA, you take into account. 615-737-1025. What are your thoughts on the coronavirus situation taking over the sports landscape right now? Should the SEC tournament continue play this week here in Nashville? 615-737-1025. We'll take your phone calls and your text messages. ESPN 94.9 Game 2 is the official radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in this Saturday as Nashville SC are on the road to take on the Toronto FC. Pregame begins at 2:45 p.m. with kickoff at 3 o'clock only on ESPN 94.9 Game 2. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Corey Curtis here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was South Carolina head men's basketball coach Frank Martin talking about the coronavirus news and how the SEC and the NCAA are handling the situation. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Corey Curtis from News 2 taking you through this Thursday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee, and what Corey has become maybe the craziest sports day that I can remember late last night into this morning in terms of the decisions that have been made that may still have to be made today by the NHL. I mean, it's been a crazy, crazy last 12 hours or so.
I get 90 seconds at 6 o'clock. I get 120 seconds at 10.
Yeah.
Last night I was down to 90 seconds at 10. And I was trying to decipher what I cram in to that 90 seconds.
That's a tough job, man.
And I mean, I went out and talked to the producer, and I just had my hands out, and I just said, there is so much happening so quickly, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
I mean, it was dropping like every 5 minutes, something was happening. It was, I mean, and then you dropped in Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson. You're just like, what? And the president's on, banning travel to Europe. And I mean, last night, I mean, I've been through some stuff that was the craziest.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the craziest sequence of
one after the other.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was like whole. And then, you know, and I got a family. And then I start thinking about my family, and I'm like, don't freak out. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. But there's so much happening, it's hard for us all to not freak out.
Yeah.
And so I'm just trying to help myself. don't freak out. Process the information. Understand you're going to be okay. Your family's going to be okay. You got to make sure everybody else is okay.
Yeah.
And just doing all it was a crazy night.
615-737-1025. We'll take your calls and your text messages. What have you made of the response by sports leagues to the coronavirus pandemic that's going on around the world right now? Let's go to Ultimate Predator, our good friend that's called in. Ultimate, what's going on, brother? Thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Mr. Stanley, C-Squared, how are you gentlemen doing today?
Very good. I just want to cut you off real quick. Just scrolled on ESPN's bottom line. The NHL will have a statement within the hour
on
what's going to happen. So go ahead, Ultimate.
Well, I'll take about 1 minute that you guys can get back to the announcement because that's important. I had a thought, and I've seen this floated around a little bit. Why not one fan per team so you can still have your home field, home court, home ice advantage? And I'll go ahead and volunteer. I've already got a mask.
Your mask has a mouth over the has an opening over the mouth, Ultimate.
Look, I can't shut up. Y'all know I can't shut up. If I shut up, then I might as well not be breathing. But in seriousness, I did have a random thought. Wanted to get your guys' take on this. With the cancellation of fans going to games, this is going to put fans that are already here for the SEC tournament or travel with their teams for various basketball, hockey games, soccer games. Isn't this going to put a whole bunch of people that may or may not be carriers into bars and restaurants and other watch party venues that you're just going to end up spreading this even faster? And I'll hang up.
You know,
thanks, Ultimate.
It's a legitimate point. You know, you can't control what people do once you tell them not to go here.
Right.
I brought up earlier, my daughter goes to Williamson County School, and we've been out of school for a week, and I said, well, that's not going to stop them from going to the mall, from going to Target, from going to the movies. And I was at the mall yesterday, and it was empty.
Right.
So I do think that it does send the message to people how serious this is. Now, people are still going to go to bars, and they are still going to watch the games.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you won't have 15,000 of them in the same place.
Right.
And I think that's the point. You're not going to have 15,000 of them in the same exact place. And there are going to be a lot of people who I think, like I said, are going to go, wait a minute, things just got really real. We need to be careful.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's go to Matt, who's called in. Matt, thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go ahead.
I think in regards to the NHL spend a season, they should not.
Okay, why is that?
Well, I understand the NBA doing it with Rudy Gobert, but no one says the positive for it yet. Until doing so, they should keep the season going. If someone does test positive, that's a whole other story. But right now, no one's testing positive.
Well,
for the NHL.
How about this, Matt? How about testing everybody and seeing if everybody's clear first and then go play?
I was going to say that too, but the thing is testing every single player would take, I mean, in the long scheme of things, yes, it would probably be better than just suspending this.
So you just want to roll the dice? Just say, let's take the chance that none of them are sick.
I mean, yeah, playoff push is on the way. People are playing. I mean, it's getting more viewers. I think it'd be a horrible time to stop it right now. But
it is. Nobody's saying it isn't. It's any time is a horrible time, especially for the NCAA. I mean, this is their tournament.
Yeah.
This is their moneymaker. It is without question. But if we have to wait a day to test everybody in the league, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'd even wait a week, honestly.
There you go. That's what we're and you know what? Maybe that's what we're looking at. We don't know because nobody's put a timeline on anything. I mean, it's until further notice, and it's.
But then with that being said, though, they're going to do that for every single sport.
Yeah, you have to. You have to.
MLB.
Well, MLB doesn't start for a month, so we've got some time to get things under control before MLB gets here. Because I can guarantee you this, April 1, they're not playing in Seattle.
Oh, no. No way. I mean, they're not going to even be allowed to at that point. At least you wouldn't think with the way things are going right now. Thanks for the call, Matt. Look, we get it. It's not a convenient time to shut down the sports world. It's never going to be a convenient time. But again, it's not about that.
You can't wait until somebody's got a fever because then it's too late.
Right.
Because right now the NBA is scrambling because they're like, Rudy Gobert has been around how many people? How many people have his teammates been around? And so they've got to get everybody tested and they've got to get it all figured out. I mean, they're trying to self-quarantine. we don't have enough tests. That's part of the problem. And so they've got to figure out a way to get everybody tested or, like I said, sit out the incubation period before they can allow those players to go back. It's that simple. And I think the NHL is going to realize the exact same thing, that until we can clear all of our players, we can't go out on the ice. And, you know, let alone the fans. You can't clear all those people, but they can control their employees. But, you know, my understanding is right now is if you're sick, you know, it might be hard to get tested because there's just not a whole lot of tests out there.
Kenneth writes in on the text line and says, the way you guys talk, we should all lock ourselves in the house for 2 weeks and shut the country down. Wow. Well, guess what?
That's what's happening.
That's what's happening in Italy. We're trying not to get there.
Yeah, we're trying to slow it
down. That's the entire point of this conversation, Kenneth.
We're talking about not gathering 15,000 people in a stadium. And we're talking about not infecting an entire league. Look, when you go to work, yes, there's a sharing of germs. But you don't sweat and bump up against your coworkers for three straight hours at your work. And that's what goes on in the NBA and in the NHL. It is a cesspool for creating and sharing viruses.
I mean, sickness is already a problem in, like, the NBA and the NHL anyway. Like, yes. The Predators have just gone through it.
I mean,
Yarncroke was sick. Johansson was sick. Pekka got sick. Nick Bonino was sick. I mean, viruses or bacteria, whatever they are, I mean, they spread throughout a locker room pretty easily. So it's a little bit different of a working environment than your normal 9-to-5 job.
Yeah. And look, we're not trying to spread mass hysteria.
No, like,
I'm just trying to tell you, I mean, look, we banned travel from Europe, okay? From Europe to Europe. Schools have been closed already. And now we're just telling you what's happening here, okay? And what the next logical step is. Like I said, I'm not worried about Robbie. I'm not worried about Marquise. I'm worried about their grandparents.
Right.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, that is what it's about. Got another text in on the text line that says, the flu kills around 20 to 60,000 people per year. Same rule, sick and elderly people most at risk. Are we going to start canceling seasons every year for the flu as well?
Well,
I've heard a lot of people say that.
You know, it's legitimate, but this mortality rate is much higher than the flu. It's much higher. I think the number of cases worldwide is 130,000, and the number of deaths is approaching 5. And I know not every case is a confirmed case. But, you know, so the confirmed cases right now, the mortality rate's like 3-4%, okay, which is a huge number. It's way higher than the flu, way, way higher than the flu. But even if that number is closer to 1%, you're talking way more than 30 to 60,000 people a year, way more.
Right. And that's what we're trying to avoid when we have these conversations is, look, like you said earlier, Corey, are they going to completely stop the spreading of this thing? No. But if you're professional sports leagues, I think you've got to take some action there. And that's what
the NBA
did.
You've got a social responsibility.
Yeah, exactly.
And you need to allow what the medical professionals need right now is time and space.
Right.
And if everybody gets sick at once, they won't be able to help everyone.
Right.
But if we spread it out, they will. And the longer it gets spread out, the better chance there is that people will, A, be able to get treated, and B, get a vaccine before they do get sick.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take a year to get a vaccine.
When we come back, Charles Barkley has weighed in on this situation after the NBA has postponed their season last night. We'll hear what Chuck had to say on the matter. That's coming up next. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Corey Curtis here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was ESPN NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski last night on SportsCenter talking about the decision to suspend the season in the NBA. And it doesn't look like Woj has really gone home. I mean, he's been all over TV this morning, too. I'm not sure that he's gone back home yet. But obviously, came out of nowhere last night. Like, we had heard yesterday afternoon that today's game in San Francisco with the Warriors, they were going to play that game with no fans in the stands. And that, at the time, was a gigantic story. I mean, that was kind of the first step we had heard in a professional organization taking that route. And then little did we know, a few hours later, it would devolve into Rudy Gobert testing positive for coronavirus, and then the NBA deciding to suspend its regular season for the next little bit here for an indefinite amount of time as they try to determine what the next steps are and the best course of action will be. So just a crazy situation. And the one and only Charles Barkley has talked about this. He's made some comments earlier about the NBA suspending their season, maybe what it means for the NCAA tournament as well. Here's what Charles Barkley had to say.
I'm going to say this, and I'm probably going to get in trouble because I work for Turner and March Madness and CBS. I think the NBA, Turner Sports and CBS got to close down March Madness, man, because you can't have these players, even if there's no fans in the stadium, you can't have these players breathing on each other for 2 weeks. They're walking, even if they had a hotel, they're going to be in different cities around the country. And I hate to say it, like I said, I probably shouldn't say it because I work for CBS. I think we're going to have to shut down March Madness until we know more.
Now, Charles, I think all of us on our set agree with that sentiment. I would like to voice what I know would be the opposition to it, however, for the sake of playing devil's advocate, which would be to say, you know, these kids want to play in these games, and it is, for many of them, a once-in-a-lifetime experience. What do you say to someone who would pose that to you?
Well, I don't think that's the problem. I think that my company got to bite the bullet. You know, Greeny, I know the kids want to play, but we can't have these kids. Like, think about it, Greeny. These kids are sweating, breathing, leaning on each other. That's crazy. And then even if you lose, you go back home. You don't know if you got the virus for a week or two.
That's Charles Barkley talking about the ongoing situation. And look, he even said, he was like, look, I get it. I work for CBS. I work for Turner Sports. I probably shouldn't say this, even though Charles Barkley's not going to get in trouble. It's Charles Barkley. But he doesn't think they should play in the NCAA tournament. He says, you know, we got college kids out there, you know, playing for 2 weeks in this tournament. If you go the entire distance, you're sweating on each other, breathing on each other. You're really in close proximity. Obviously, if you're guarding somebody with the basketball, you're going to be doing a lot of physical contact there as well. It's just a situation where the further this goes, the NCAA, I think, is going to be forced to continue to evaluate their decision to play games with no fans in the building. You know, after the NBA with their decision last night, potentially what the NHL may say later today, if you're the NCAA, you've got to give some real thought, at least in my opinion, of taking the same route and maybe either postponing the tournament or, unfortunately, I mean, they may be faced with the reality of canceling it altogether just because of the way the schedules work out.
Well, I guarantee you those conversations are going on today. And you know, that's the last thing that they want to do. And I don't think they have to make that decision today.
No.
But they would have to make it by Sunday. And so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what they do and how long they want to see this thing follow through. Just 11 minutes ago, they halted trading on the stock market. 15 minutes in, it was down 7%. So the stock market continues to get ravaged. You know, as, you know, people stop spending money, people have stopped having the ability to make money. It's going to have an impact, and we see the impact it's going to have on our economy as well. You know, we can act like this isn't a big deal. It's a big deal. And Charles Barkley was just saying all the things that we've been saying, that, you know, yeah, it's a small sample of people, but in a highly contagious situation. You know, I heard one doctor describe it, you know, as basically the most contagious situation possible.
Yeah.
You know, having these guys compete against each other. And, you know, you can't wait for somebody at this point to say they're sick. And I just think that's the point we're at.
Yeah, no question about it. Also, reports coming out that Congress is shutting down the U.S. Capitol. The House and Senate office buildings are closed to the public until April 1st.
Yeah.
So some precautions outside of the sports world taking place as well around our country here. Really interested, Corey, to see what decision the NHL makes today, because I thought, you know, they said shortly after the NBA released their decision last night, the NHL said they were coming out with a statement, I think like 30 minutes later, and I thought, here we go.
Well, it's supposed to come within the hour.
Yeah,
here.
And I thought last night the NHL was going to decide to go ahead and postpone their season as well. They did not do that last night. I think they tried to take the time over the course of the night and this morning to talk to as many people involved as they can.
Well, according to ESPN, the NHL Board of Governors are going to meet at 1 o'clock Eastern time, which is 12 Central, about the plan for the coronavirus.
Okay.
So we'll find out at 12 what they plan on doing. Well, after 12.
You brought up the April 1 date for Congress and for closing the Capitol. And I think that that's the date we should go off of.
Yeah.
And I think it's the date we should go off of for everything, because if you look at what's happening in China and some of these other countries where they've pretty much shut things down, the virus has slowed.
Yeah.
And slowed massively. And I think even China's telling American basketball players it's okay to start coming back to play again.
Yeah.
And so I think we're seeing shut things down for that 2-week time period. We can get a hold on things. And so I think that's where our country is headed in. Not shutting the entire country down, but shutting down these mass gatherings and these highly contagious situations and slowing things down. And I think, you know, we'll be able to reassess, you know, as we get closer to April 1. And I think, like, for NBA, NHL, with MLB's planning to start on time. And again, that tells me, because they're in the same loop with everybody else on this, that they feel like in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to get a grasp on this thing and we're going to get it slowed down.
But also, if you're the MLB, you still have time where if that changes, you can still adapt from there, because they're not going to start until the first part of April.
Dude, they play 162 games.
Yeah,
I mean, they could cancel the first month and it wouldn't affect anything.
Wouldn't affect anything whatsoever. Matter of fact, some could argue maybe they need to cancel the first month and cut down on that season length a little bit. It is going to be interesting. I mean, the SEC tournament today is still scheduled to take place. Tennessee is playing against Alabama at noon. There will be no fans in attendance. Yeah, so not very much time. It looks like they're going to go ahead and play today.
And the ACC and the Big 12 and the Pac-12, and I'm missing one conference in here. Big Ten are all in the same suit as the SEC, and none of them have canceled today's games yet. So, you know, everybody's still on board with playing today, and I think in the ACC, we're probably 2 hours from tip-off from the first game. They probably start at 11.
Yeah.
You know, I think as we get closer and closer here, it looks like there's a pretty good chance those games are going to be played today.
Real quickly, before we go to break here in just a second, Emily Kaplan, who writes on the NHL for ESPN, has just said, the NHL has now advised all teams not to conduct morning skates, practices, or team meetings today. So that may kind of tell you which direction
you
the NHL is leaning in their decision-making process.
Those aren't tea leaves. That's a billboard, okay? Yeah. There's not much to read there. They're saying stay out of the arena because, like you said, there's cross-contamination with the NBA some, and we're going to begin the quarantining process now, is kind of what it sounds like.
NHLPR has come out and said, given the uncertainty regarding the next steps regarding the coronavirus, clubs are advised not to conduct morning skates, practices, or team meetings today. So, like Marquise said, I mean, the Board of Governors meeting at 12, maybe deciding, you know, what the future is going to be, at least the short-term future for the league. That, to me, if you're a fan that's hoping that they continue playing, probably not a great sign.
No.
That that's going to be the case.
And if you were hoping the NHL was going to continue playing, you were really stretching it.
Yeah.
I mean, because, yeah. So, we'll see.
When we come back, we'll continue this conversation on the other side of the break. 615-737-1025. We'll take your calls and your text messages. You're listening to Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Corey Curtis, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save